Dankie vir daai, Angeli. Ek sal jou terugkry volgende jaar op 'n of ander manier. Thanks guys, it's really a privilege to be here again. I can't tell you how excited we are to come here. We still haven't found a house to stay in, so if you know of something, let us know. We need something nice, something big. So, yeah, if you know something, it'll be great. Greetings from my wife and the two little kids. I'll say they want to greet you, but they didn't say that. But I'll say they want to do that. In any case, tonight's word is roughly the same as I preached here this morning, but I'm going to make the emphasis a little bit different. So if you were here this morning, I'm sorry. But that's in any case how I actually want to do things next year a little bit, to preach the same word the morning and the afternoon and the evening. I really believe God, we still want church. And many of you only come and attend one service. And I really believe that what the Lord wants to give us in terms of the words that he brings us, we must maybe take it a little bit slower, spend a bit more time with it, discuss it, work it through, assimilate it into our lives. So we'll still see next year how it's going to happen. I'll have some talks with Gilly and Gerard about that and see how we approach it. But in any case, the word is relating to, again, to us as a church and the responsibility that we as a church has specifically regarding all the stuff that's been happening lately in Wolseley and Wellington and all sorts, all over the area. All the upsets and the strikes and the violence and stuff happening. And really believe the Lord wants us as a church to stand up and to literally assume our position and to start to act in terms of that. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that and about what the church's responsibility is. But before I do that, let's pray and then we take it from there. Father, tonight, Lord, we simply want to kneel before you. We want to surrender our hearts before you. Father, we know that so often, Lord, that we just pursue our own stuff, Lord. We pursue our own lives. We follow ourselves, Lord. We literally follow our noses. And Lord, tonight we just want to come back and submit to you. Father, we want to be church. We want to be who you have called us to be. So open our hearts, Lord, to receive from you. We open our hearts, Lord, to, Lord, have our own wrong approaches, our own misconceptions, our own misunderstandings, Lord, made clear so we can change, so we can become like you, so we can literally be your vessel, Lord, in this world, in this age, in this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Cool stuff. What I want us to do tonight is really just getting our hearts and our minds on God's plan in terms of all the stuff that's been happening. There's a lot of hectic stuff that's been happening. Like I say, I really believe the Lord has a specific responsibility for us as a church to stand up and to start to take authority in the spirit about everything that's happening, not just in our region, but in this country as a whole. And I think it's the whole church that actually must stand up. We are just a part of it, but we can do our part, and we can respond, and we can, stand up along with it, with what God wants to do. Talking about that, and things like the stuff that has happened in the past week, with all the violence and so on, we tend to make two mistakes when we approach it, and stuff like that. And the first one would be just simply looking at it, seeing the violence and stuff on TV or on the internet or wherever we see it. And we would think, sure, I hope they get that stuff sorted out, and we turn around and we walk away. It's called apathy. That's the first mistake that we make. And I didn't specifically speak about it this morning. I think the morning crowd is a lot more involved in what is actually happening. It's a lot closer to them. Being farmers, being people who work with farmers, And I know some of you obviously do it as well. But I think for us as a crowd tonight, as an audience, I think a lot of the times that first mistake, that apathy thing, is where our issue lies. We really don't care. And we see the stuff that's happening, we see it and say, I really don't care. I'll only start caring once it actually involves me. And it's a bit of a harsh word to start with tonight, but I think it's really something that the Lord wants to shift in us, to shift to apathy. Because we as the church of Jesus Christ, we cannot be apathetic. We're called to a time and a place such as this. If I can quote Esther, that is what, well, it's Mordecai, but it's the book of Esther. In any case, the second thing that we do, second mistake that we make, and I'll talk a little bit about it as we go along. It was my more bit of my focus point this morning, is we will look at stuff like that. That's if we get past the apathy and we actually want to get involved and we care about something that doesn't directly involve myself. If we get to that point, we often make another mistake. And that mistake would be, is again, to look at it, to see the different people groups that are involved, and to choose someone to support. And we often, actually most often, choose to support a people group that's the same as us, whether they are right or not. And I'm not placing an indictment on anyone regarding the past happenings. I think we must just make sure that we remain central and what's the word? Objective in situations like this. Because what the media does is it just wants to elevate all sorts of stuff in our hearts and our minds, which is not necessarily what the Lord wants to do, what the Lord wants to establish. So I really believe we must consider our hearts and ask the Lord to show us and then obviously change it. I think within that when we see circumstances and what the Lord wants to happen within us is to see the circumstances and to allow it to stir our hearts. And that's the first thing. So we often don't allow it to stir our hearts. And the second one is we take it too far again and we let the circumstances decide our emotions. And again, we're not then sitting in a place of honestly looking at something and seeing the Lord's hand and the Lord's judgment within it. Then just regarding what is happening, I think we often approach it way too much in a physical sense. We only see in the physical what is happening, and we completely miss the backdrop of it, which is literally Satan at work. And he's really got an agenda with this thing, like I said this morning as well. It's something that is linked to all the violence we've had in the mines in Northwest province the past 2 months. Praise God, that strike has ended. But yeah, it's really a massive thing that the Lord wants to do. And I think specifically in this region, in this area, it's quite obvious just to see the potential fruit of the stuff that's been happening this last week. And it's disunity between farmers and their workers. It's an elevation, again, of racism, which still is very much alive in this country. And then obviously the last one, it's just to establish a lot of anger and a lot of fear inside of us. I know a couple of years back there was this whole issue on the internet about the night of the long knives, the stuff that happened once Mandela has died, and all those sort of things. And all of that is just simply tools in the enemy's hand to minister fear to us. And then obviously anger, and we want to respond out of the flesh and react to people. That's not what I believe that God has for the church to do. So tonight what we are going to look at is actually what is God's plan for us as a church in this time? How should we respond? And then we're actually going to do it. We're actually going to respond tonight. I let you guys break up in little groups at the end of the sermon a couple of weeks back when I was here. We're going to do a similar thing tonight, probably a little bit longer. Literally assume the place that God has for us. I think we're often a little bit blasé about, what's the word that I want to use there? The fight that we are in, the spiritual battle that we are in. I mean, the scripture is very clear about the fact that our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's against the powers and the principalities in the air, the demonic forces. And I think we're often just too blasé about it. And it's predominantly a corporate battle. It's predominantly a corporate battle. We make it a very personal one, we make it an individual one, and yes, there's a side to it that is individual, but it's predominantly a corporate battle. I remember a couple of years back, one of the guys I read in preparing for a sermon, just speaking about the two kingdoms at war with one another. And he said a very interesting statement. And I guess one can talk about the theological implications of it and so on, but it made me think a little bit. And he said that the kingdom, obviously kingdom of light versus kingdom of darkness, the kingdom that will advance is the kingdom that receives the most worship. The kingdom that will advance is the kingdom that receives the most worship. And within that, I really believe we mustn't just see worship as coming before God as a church and singing to Him. Worship is much more than that. Worship is meant to be a lifestyle. The way I live is worship unto God. How I react to His call to actually stand up is worship unto God or not. And so it's not just about, Lord, we worship you, Lord, we worship you. It's seeing the fruit in our lives. It brings worship unto God. And I think it's really, something that we need to just, it's almost just it's the Lord's been speaking to me about the last while. It's just simply, Yaku, pursue me, pursue me, pursue me, pursue me. That's all He wants from us. And as we pursue Him, He's going to start working through us. And really having our lives changed and being church, not just coming to church, but being church. One of the guys in Pretoria just specifically said that they've prayed about the whole thing that's been happening down here, and they really believe it's the enemy wanting to establish ground in a spiritual sense. He wants to advance. He wants to take. And that's why we really believe it's the church's responsibility to stand up. And I don't want to say for once. I guess I can be overcritical regarding the role of the church, and I know some other people specifically are very critical about the church that is so silent. I've got a bit of a point, though. I think too much we tend to be an audience and simply watch. Well, God has ordained for us to actually be on the stage participating. And so I really believe it's something the Lord wants the church to react to take part in and become involved. Because if we don't, obviously the enemy will have already won. So, we as a church must wake up, if I can say it so directly, and become what God wants us to be. 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. It's a scripture that is so often prayed in intercessions, but it is so, so, so powerful. God says, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. I'm going to read it again. If my people who are called by my name, and if you don't know it yet, that is us, we are called by God's name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. I think something we often miss is the fact that we as the church, we play sort of a double role. We represent God to the world, but we represent people, places, countries to God. And that's often what we miss. Where we miss the place of authority that God has for us, where we miss the role God has for us to play. We represent as Shofar, but as this church in South Africa, we represent South Africa before God. And that's giving us a place of massive authority. a place of massive ability if we come together in prayer to see God's will established and not that of the enemy. And that is, again, what I really believe God wants us to react to. In the scripture, we see a number of things that the Lord wants us to do in terms of preparing ourselves to actually get into that position of being in that authority and asking him and coming before him to ask him for healing and order and peace back in the country. First one, I said a while ago, it's just really being, wake up and smell the coffee and actually getting involved in what the Lord wants. And then the second one there is humble yourselves. Humble yourselves. It's something that I've been thinking about quite a bit in the last, I don't actually know how long. But it's really, we spoke about pride this morning in the worship as well. It's really something that the Lord wants from us. The fact that we would come before him and simply humble ourselves. We often walk through life with a certain sense of entitlement, a sense of this is mine, this is mine, this I can do, this I can do, this I can do. And the whole thing that I spoke about 2 weeks ago as well, this is my time, I'll do with it whatever I want. A sense of entitlement. And as servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's the one with the entitlement to us. And I know it sounds hectic like that. God is not a spoil sport. He's not going to remove all your fun out of your life. But there's a certain place of submission to him that we must get to. We often just see the things that is, what is my right? What is my right? And again, with all of that, we simply focus on ourselves and we keep focusing on ourselves. And we end up being in a place of passivity. And I wanna be real straight with you guys tonight that passivity is not a right. Passivity is sin. Passivity is not a right. Passivity is sin. And I'm just as guilty as any one of you guys. So I'm not just throwing out this word and think you guys must respond. All of us must respond. All of us must start to stand up and actually come together and be church. And really allowing the Lord to use us and to use everything that he's given us for his purposes and for his plans. And I think just regarding the specific situation between the farmers and the workers, the farm workers, it's an issue about resources, it's an issue about pay, and again with that as well, both from the farmer's side and from the worker's side, the issue is submitting to God even in the things that he's given us to steward for his sake. And again, it's something we must humble ourselves. It's not about us, it's about him. Third one that we see in the scripture is we must pray. We'll do that in a minute. And the fourth one, seeking his face. If they seek my face, is what the Lord says. And it simply talks about pursuing relationship with him. What is God's will? What is God's purpose? What is his plan? Pursuing relationship with him. And I guess we can put a very spiritual side to that as well, where it's simply coming together in intercession, waiting on God to hear what his will is, and seeking his face. It's an active thing, it's not a passive thing, seeking his face. And then the last one there, turn from the wicked ways. And then after all of that, God says, then I will hear from heaven. You'll forgive the sin and heal the land. I think the turning from wicked ways, it's a lot of stuff, obviously, that we can mention regarding that. I think, what we'll do in a minute, a little bit later, is literally standing in the gap on behalf of the people and repenting on behalf of people groups. And for most of us, for most of us, mostly in terms of where we come from. And again, within that, we often miss our own sins. Sins that we struggle with, sins that our families struggle with, sins that we as a people group struggle with. And it's not like we're bad in that sort of sense. You'll see it with every people group. Some things they really do well. Other things, they sin. and it's like an iniquity. It's something that's stuck. And I believe with that also God wants us to really, on behalf of the people in this country, come before him, repent on their behalf for the sins that they as a group really, really struggle with. And we can call many different things, idolatry, all sorts of stuff. Micah 6 verse 8 makes it a little bit more clear. He says, "They yes told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God." To do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. And again, all three of those is really something that is active. And if I say we must walk away from our wicked ways, one of the things specifically that we must walk away from is neglecting that, is neglecting justice, is neglecting mercy, and then obviously neglecting walking in humility before God. And I think in terms of the justice thing, it's so applicable within this whole issue of the farmers versus the farm workers. It's so applicable. And I said this morning specifically, I don't want to bash any side. I don't want to bash any side. What we as a church should never do is, firstly, we shouldn't be apathetic, but then secondly, we shouldn't choose sides. Simply because both sides have a story to tell. Both sides have guilt. Both sides need to come together and see God's face in terms of unity, in terms of relationship, in terms of an answer to the issues at stake. And something I really believe we must focus on, because like I said at the beginning, we often automatically choose sides. And we must step a little bit backwards from that and really trust the Lord not to do it, and standing on his side, because that is where we are actually already at. We are on God's side. And if we choose for God, then you're not going to choose for the farmers or for the farm workers. You're going to choose for justice, for kindness, for mercy, and for walking in humility before God. That is what we're going to choose if we do this in terms of God's way. I think one of the things we miss quite often, and this is what the scripture speaks about, just simply by virtue of the fact that we are God's people, we have a mandate to look after the poor, to look after the weak, to look after the destitute. That's a mandate. We see it all through the New Old Testament. This comes specifically because of neglect that the Lord tells this. We see it later with the Israelites. I think the question we must ask ourselves is, can God ask us the same thing? Can he accuse us of the same thing? Neglecting justice, neglecting mercy, neglecting walking in humility before God. Question we must ask ourselves before we choose sides, because it's really just getting to the place where we stand for this is the place where we actually enter into authority, where we can stand before God and ask him, Lord, heal our land, bring order, bring peace. And we can stand in authority if we actually do it. If we're actually living out justice, living out kindness and mercy. And obviously then along with that, again, the whole thing of not being passive and being active in such a way, we definitely appropriate a bigger portion of grace from the Lord. So just maybe to clear a little bit up in terms of what I'm referring to regarding justice in this specific circumstance, I'm not going to focus too much on that tonight. I think our main response tonight is just getting together and starting to pray, and just to shift the apathy in our hearts. But just for clarity's sake, for you guys, when you speak to people, because often when you speak to people, we our mindsets are shaped by the people we mostly spend time with. And if they're very negative, if we are not careful, we become very negative and sometimes racist and angry and whatever. And so there's justice required in this whole scenario. And the first part of that would be obviously looking at the fact that, yes, the farm workers, they work, they require a certain amount of pay. And I'm not the one to judge what would be good, what would not be good. The issue for me is also not what does the farm workers get paid. Like I said this morning, I believe most of them are actually, they're being looked after quite well. I think there's a lot of inciting that's happening behind the scenes that we're not necessarily always aware of, but it's actually quite obvious. For me, it's a much bigger thing. It's not just about the farmers and the farm workers. It's about the country, the continent in general. Because when God blesses us with certain stuff, and I'm very convicted by this, it's just in terms of our own lifestyle. How do we live? Am I going to continue building my own two-story mansion while the world looks at me asking for food? There's something wrong in that picture. And that is most often where we are at. Building our own mansions, building our own kingdoms, and there's a world around us that's hungry for justice. Doesn't mean they need to be rich. Doesn't mean we must give all our money away. But we've got a certain responsibility to see them being uplifted to a place where they can actually look after themselves. And so it's just really, it's something that I'm convicted of. Something the Lord really wants to shift within us, bringing justice. But there's the other side as well. The stuff has been happening, farms being burned, shops being looted, hotel windows being thrown with stones, brick through Bucky's windows, those sort of things. With that as well, justice must happen. That is not God's will. That is not, even if you react out of a place of feeling, what's the word? Can't remember the word now, but you're feeling done in, if I can use direct translation, you don't do the same thing to others. So in that sense, there's also justice required there. And that's something we must pray for, something we must trust the Lord for, to really, establish in us. And I think it's the whole thing again of responsibility. If you want to do something, then you should be held responsible for that. And that for me is simply justice. Isaiah 59:19-20, we'll pray in a minute. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. Very powerful scripture. And basically what I want to say with it is that God responds to those who call to him. But it's not just simply those who call to him, those who repent. Those who turn away from their wicked ways and turn to him. And like I said, we often sell the issue of sin of commission versus sin of omission. You know it. Sin of commission, it's basically don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. Oops, you've done it, you've committed a sin. That's sin of commission. But the other side is just as serious. Do this, do this, do this, do this. Oh, you haven't done it. Sin of omission. And that's, for me, tonight's specific focus in terms of walking away from your wicked ways, walking away from the sin of omission, walking away from passivity, walking away from apathy, and turning to the Lord. And it's interesting, just the last bit there, and the Redeemer shall call to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob. He will turn to those within the nation of Israel who repent. He's not going to turn to the whole nation. He turns to those who repent. It's a powerful picture. Powerful picture. To them, the Lord shall turn. So I really believe, maybe just within that, speaking about status before God, your state before God is not determined by where you come from. It's literally just determined by the response in your own heart. But in any case, really believe this is something that's definitely a word for the church, and for us as individuals also specifically to literally start to stand up and pray, start to stand up and do something, and not just to stand up with swords in our hands to start fighting. It's a spiritual standing and starting to pray for God's order, God's justice, God's plan to happen, and not for the benefit of any specific individual. For God's plan to happen. And really, that the church as Christians should get to the place of being the influence. And I think we can really ask the Lord for the Christians in those specific people groups also to stand up and be, yeah, people of influence. When I think about this, I think about just the way God wants us to respond to this. I mean, he's coming to us and he says he wants us to stand up with him in terms of what he wants to do. And I think it's not a perfect picture, but I think of Abraham within that context where God comes and God says, listen, Abraham, I want to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. What do you say about it? And then for a while, Abraham actually converses with God about it and asks him, but even if there's 40 or 30 or 10 just people, would you still destroy it? And it's that sort of place that we must get to, standing in the gap on behalf of this nation. Standing in a gap. And we'll do that in the next 2 minutes. And really then asking the Lord for restoration, restore this country to a place of order and a place of peace. And I think, again, I said it this morning as well, I think we often approach this asking the Lord to bring peace on our terms. And we must just, again, step away from that and say, Lord, let peace come on your terms, because our terms mean nothing. It's peace on God's terms. And so that we'll approach by what we saw in that scripture, humbling ourselves, praying, seeking his face, and turning from our wicked ways, and then ushering in the peace of God on his terms. So let's look at the list of stuff that we can pray for. And your response is a lot less hectic than it was this morning. This morning I specifically asked the people to look at this and to pray through it, but pray through it from a place of actually standing in a place of authority and decreeing. I'm not specifically going to ask that from you guys tonight. I simply want to shift an apathy tonight. And I'm simply going to ask you, just pray. Whether you ask God, whether you decree, I don't care, but we need to pray. Because we need to start to shift what's in our hearts so that we can actually see what's going around us and actually start to move, to influence it. First three there, it's just individually, ourselves, repenting, and let's make it from whatever. Whatever the Lord lays in your heart, whether it's something specific to the stuff that's been happening in the last while, whether you've specifically chosen sides, whether you've been angry, whether you've experienced a level of racism in you, just simply repent of it. Forgive anyone you need to forgive. Declare your dependency upon him and acknowledge his lordship. That's coming before him in humility. And then from there on, we specifically focus on what's been happening in this country of late, repenting on behalf of whoever. If the Lord shows you specific sin from a specific people group or something that's been happening, then you can, as being part of the church, and we're going to do it together in smaller groups, stand in the gap on behalf of that people group and repent on their behalf and ask the Lord for his mercy. Then we can ask the Lord, obviously, for order and peace, hearts of the farmers and the farm workers to come together, to unite. I don't know. I think some of you probably think, what the heck? Why should we do this tonight? And it comes back again to that same thing. People around us in this town have been influenced directly in a very, very negative way by the stuff that's been happening. And as the Church of Jesus Christ, we can't just sit and watch. We need to stand up, and that's what we're doing. We're standing up and we're starting to pray. Let the hearts of the farmers and the farm workers to join together. To really see to it that the other one is also benefited from whatever's happening. Trust the Lord so that there's no gap for Satan, the enemy, to really come in between that. We ask for his justice and mercy. I think that's a prayer we can really pray for the country as a whole, for justice and for mercy, because the stuff that's been happening lately is really, it's absolute lawlessness. And we must ask the Lord to bring the country back to a place of justice. Stop to the innocent hurt and harm that we've been seeing. Stop to the violence and stop to the inciting. It's quite obvious. I know even the stuff in Northwest, some of the people that got killed on the mines weren't even miners. So there's a lot of extra stuff involved in the whole process. It's not just the farm workers, that's no negative. They're being incited. People are stirring them up, and we can really ask the Lord to stop that. Again, also the gullibility of the masses, it's a bit of a weird one, but that's got to do with the inciting. People are gullible, therefore it's easy to incite them. And we must really ask the Lord and trust Him to shift a blindness within them to a place of sight, to see the effects of what is happening, give them the ability to understand that. Stop to the works of dark or the works of darkness to be exposed. What I'm referring to there specifically is who's behind this. I really want it to be exposed because it's evil, evil, evil. It must be stopped, and it's really for the sake of this country. If you don't see it, I want to really tell you where it's been happening in the mines and the landbou, whatever that is in English, agriculture. It's two very important parts of this country's economy, and so it's really the work of the devil. It's really the work of the devil what we've been seeing. We must ask the Lord to stop that, to break the spirit of rebellion that's behind all the stuff happening. We often focus on the people. The people are mad. The people are crazy. Why are they doing this? There's a spirit, a demonic spirit behind them. And we must break the power of that thing. And that's what we can do because we are the Church of Jesus Christ. The enemy wants to raise up a standard or comes in like a flood. The Lord raises a standard. We just saw it in that text that we read. So we come against it and we stop it because we can. And we want to. Reclaiming the area for God. And then praying for the country's leaders who just last week said they don't see any instability in the country. There's a lot of instability. And I think we must ask the Lord to open their eyes. And what I specifically want us to pray for is, it's so easy to see again. A lot of the leaders in this country are there because they want the power and they want the money. And they're not there for the sake of this country. And that I want us to, again, we can shift that in the spirit. Their motivation, their approach, that the decisions that they make will actually be to the benefit of this country and not just themselves. So what I want us to do, break up again, groups of three or four, and let's spend a while, 10, 15 odd minutes in prayer about this. After that, we'll worship again, a few songs to end the service. I really want us to react to what the Lord says and to do it, to actually be church tonight. And if you don't go through everything, it's fine. If the Lord leads you to stay in a specific place, then stay there and pray it through until it's done. But let's be church. Cool stuff.